The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
When your medical practice is growing fast and you have more patients than you have room for, you need to start, well, making some room. Which means, all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new exam tables and stools, x-ray machines, and microscopes quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup. All the political advertising will vanish after this coming Tuesday. One way of pointing out that November 8th is Election Day. Many Americans are casting their ballots early where states permit that. Perhaps that'll get to 40% of this year's votes. The latest CBS News New York Times poll found only 8% of registered voters haven't made up their minds for sure, so they may still be listening to the political commercials. Later on this broadcast, some Florida Republican activists who say they won't vote for Donald Trump.
I can't vote for Hillary Clinton either. This is one race I'm going to have to frighteningly sit out.
You'll hear our analysts who feel Clinton could win without Florida, but Trump needs that state and others. Also ahead, some voters in Ohio who traditionally vote for Democrats plan to vote for Trump. And later, CBS's Lara Logan at the front line of the battle to recapture from ISIS Iraq's second largest city, Mosul.
We saw a number of Iraqi soldiers, some of whom were badly wounded, taken a short distance from here to a field hospital set up by American troops.
And a lot more ahead on this Weekend Roundup. I'm Dan Revive at CBS News in Washington. Let's begin with highlights of the last full week of campaigning by the major party candidates for president. Donald Trump, in the remaining days, had plans for rallies in 10 states, including Michigan and Pennsylvania, where polls indicate he's behind, but Trump's advisors say they can win there. CBS's Major Garrett is traveling with Trump.
In modern era, presidential campaigns tend to tighten down the home stretch, but there is kind of a new math aspect, the way Donald Trump and those around him look at this race. They believe there is a hidden Trump vote worth 4 to 5 percentage points. And so battleground states that appear tied in public polls to the Trump campaign, they believe they're well ahead. That's why Trump is looking for votes wherever he can find them, even those already in Hillary Clinton's column.
Who's from Minnesota?
Hundreds of voters traveled from Minnesota to northwest Wisconsin Tuesday to hear Donald Trump's closing argument.
This is a message for any Democratic voter who have already cast their ballots for Hillary Clinton and who are having a bad case of buyer's remorse.
For the first time, Trump delivered what he called a public service announcement for early voters in certain states.
You can change your vote to Donald Trump. We'll make America great again, okay?
A major focus for Trump, evidence, as he puts it, from WikiLeaks, hacked emails showing what Clinton aides were apparently writing to each other, and the issue still of Clinton's use of a personal email server when she was Secretary of State. On Thursday...
Will justice be done or not? Will justice be done, yes or no?
In Jacksonville, Florida, Donald Trump seized on a new report that the FBI has investigated criminal wrongdoing at the Clinton Foundation.
It was reported that an avalanche of information is coming in. The FBI agents say their investigation is likely to yield an indictment.
Not quite. CBS News has confirmed that the FBI has looked into the finances of the Clinton Foundation, but so far, no charges have been filed.
And Fox News on Friday said it was wrong to report that an indictment may be close in a Clinton Foundation case. Hillary Clinton's focus, how terrible Trump would be as president, as she sees it. In our report from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
I want all the girls in America to know You are valuable. Don't let somebody like this bully tell you otherwise.
At three Florida rallies, Clinton ticked through Trump's most notorious comments about the opposite sex.
He calls women ugly, disgusting, nasty all the time.
For proof, she turned to former Miss Universe Alicia Machado, who Trump publicly shamed in 1997 for gaining a little weight.
He said to me, Miss Piggy, Miss Housekeeping, Miss Eating Machine.
It's a closing argument aimed not just at female voters, but at the men who love them, too.
I wouldn't feel good as a father voting for somebody like that.
The Clinton camp released a series of ads Tuesday, all of them with the same message.
I can't vote for a man that says such horrific things about women.
Hello, Columbus!
In Columbus, President Obama warned Trump is unlikely to change.
If you disrespected women before you were elected, you will disrespect women once you're president.
But in Fort Lauderdale, a protester interrupted Clinton with a sign that said her husband is a rapist, a common occurrence at Clinton rallies that set her off.
I am sick and tired of the negative, dark, divisive, dangerous vision and behavior of people who support Donald Trump.
Clinton aides insist the race is not as tight as new polls suggest. And yet they've begun airing ads in four states that supposedly tilt their way: Michigan, Virginia, Colorado, and New Mexico.
Looking for youth appeal and some say the African-American vote? Before an appearance on Friday with Jay-Z and Beyonce, Hillary Clinton was with Pharrell.
I'm not here to defend Hillary. She's a big girl. She can do that all by herself.
Clinton called on superstar Pharrell and Senator Bernie Sanders to help drum up support in student-rich Raleigh, North Carolina.
This campaign is not a personality contest. We're not voting for high school president.
Clinton argued she's got one presidential trait that is often underrated.
Listening to hear your stories, what you're worried about. Are we going to work together to build a stronger, fairer, better America? Or are we going to fear the future and fear each other and hunker down and be paralyzed by all of our prejudices?
On Thursday, the day after Game 7 of the World Series, Hillary Clinton, who was born in Chicago, said she was celebrating the victory of the Chicago Cubs. In simple terms, what a series, what a game. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there in Cleveland, Ohio. Well, you'll hear it was Cubs fans, however, who were in ecstasy.
It was a celebration a century in the making.
We won the World Series! Are you kidding me?
After decades and decades of frustration, the Chicago Cubs won baseball's top prize.
Just a great game. Epic series. We finally did it.
Game 7 was one for the ages. The Cubs were four outs away from winning the series in the eighth inning when the Indians staged a remarkable comeback.
Swung on, lined to deep left field. It is gone!
Suddenly, it was 6-6. The game went into extra innings. In the 10th, the Cubs scored twice to win it.
A century of despair comes to an end.
Chicago's Ben Zobrist was named the series most valuable player.
It's like a heavyweight fight, man.
108 years is a long time between championships, and there was time for some reflection by Chicago general manager Jed Hoyer.
I know there's so many people that are thinking of their grandfathers and fathers right now in Chicago, and that's really what it's all about.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the World Series in Cleveland.
In baseball, we know who won and who lost. As for the mystery of the presidential election this coming Tuesday, we'll have more coverage, including our analysts ahead, here on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. On Thursday night, federal law enforcement sources told CBS News that there was information that seemed credible, though not fully detailed, that Al-Qaeda terrorists would try to carry out attacks in New York, Virginia, and or Texas. Local police were informed, of course. CBS News Homeland Security correspondent Jeff Pegues reported what counterterrorism agencies are doing.
They are following social media. They are looking in other forums for threat activity that sort of bubbles up to the top. What they're trying to do is separate what is fact from fiction, what threats are credible, and those that are just talk. Earlier this week, an alert to local police warned of polling places being seen as attractive targets for lone wolf-type attacks by individuals motivated by violent extremist or sovereign citizen activity. A senior FBI official says the Bureau is working closely with the Department of Homeland Security and other federal, state, and local agencies to disrupt and identify potential threats.
Again, putting out the word to police and the public that Al-Qaeda, a group overshadowed by ISIS lately, might try to attack Americans maybe the day before the election. Let's turn back to what may happen on Tuesday night, election night, when the votes are being counted. There could be surprises, or maybe not. We're joined by CBS News senior political editor Steve Chigaris. The indications are from the opinion polls that the race has been tightening. So as we begin to hear results on Tuesday, how can we find out if that's true or not?
Well, first we'll get some results from the exit polling that is done during the day. We'll get a sense of what the mood of the electorate is going into the evening. And then as the polls start to close, you know, in the 7 o'clock hour, you have battleground states such as Virginia, North Carolina, Ohio. Each of those states could tell different stories depending on what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump do in those states, and at least in terms of exit polling and early counts. I mean, in a state like Virginia, which is which is really sort of shaping up to be looking like what the changing look of America is, more minorities, more educated white voters. If Hillary Clinton isn't doing that well in Virginia, that could portend a rough night for her. Place like North Carolina, you have a larger African-American population. If Clinton is running in a tight race there, it could suggest that the African-American turnout is not as robust as she would like it to be. State like Ohio, we're expecting white working class voters to come out for Donald Trump. If he is looking like he might be underperforming in Ohio, that could portend a tough night for him. So those are the kinds of things we'll be looking at in those early states.
The Trump forces have said they may be able to stage some surprises. Their internal polling is more optimistic, they say. Is there a state that maybe on most of our maps we're showing as blue or light blue, meaning leaning Democrat, that maybe Trump can win?
Well, I was just speaking with some Trump campaign folks who were touting two states, Michigan and New Mexico, and they feel that looking at their models, that those two states are more favorable to Trump than people are giving them credit for. Those are states that traditionally vote Democratic. They've been putting money and effort into those states in the recent weeks, and they've seen the Clinton people react almost immediately to them paying attention to those states, leading them to believe that the Clinton folks are seeing some of the same things that the Trump folks are seeing. So they are keeping an eye, or telling us to keep an eye on, Michigan and New Mexico as potential spoilers for Trump versus Clinton.
That's what the Trump folks are saying. That's Steve Chigaris, senior political editor here at CBS News. Thanks and best of luck Tuesday.
Thanks, Dan.
Let's turn to CBS News correspondent Stephen Portnoy. You've been covering the campaign just about every day, hearing what I might call rival claims by the Trump team and the Clinton team. In recent days especially, both have said, you know, they have paths to victory. Well, describe them, and which is more convincing?
Both campaigns, Dan, I think at this point have acknowledged how tight the race has become. The Clinton camp says they always anticipated that in the last days, but increasingly they're acknowledging the fact that they do need to spend some time shoring up some states like Pennsylvania and New Hampshire. Hillary Clinton is spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania through these last days, Ohio as well, Florida. Additionally, sending President Obama to Florida and New Hampshire. But the Clinton campaign has also suggested that it might try to play in states that the Democrats haven't won in 20 years. Arizona, for example, where Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton have made appearances in these last weeks. Donald Trump, on the other hand, says he has a path to 270 votes through Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. They say they feel very comfortable in the red states like Arizona and Georgia, even though news organization polling suggests that the races there are very tight. They say they're doing particularly well in Ohio, and if they can win Ohio, they think they might have a good shot in Pennsylvania. And Donald Trump is making repeated stops there in these last days.
And the people who work for Trump, you know, months ago we said he doesn't have a normal campaign staff, he doesn't have a ground game. I'm getting the impression in recent weeks that when it comes to reading polls, when it comes to deciding where he should go and encouraging him to stay on message, he does have professionals behind him.
They are looking at data. They are comparing the RNC's voter data file to their own commercial information that they've purchased. They are targeting people on social media. They are placing ads on television in a number of the key states. In these last weeks, it has become clear how professional this organization is. What they lack, however, is the structure, the ground game that the Democrats have perfected and utilized in this race. And what will be so interesting to watch by Tuesday night, Dan, is the extent to which the Trump campaign has been able to activate its voters. The one thing that they say that the polls don't show is the extent to which people who have not participated in this process to this point have become engaged by Donald Trump and are ready to vote for him if they haven't already. And they say what the Democrats are taking for granted is the notion that the Obama coalition that built in 2008 and 2012 will be there for Hillary Clinton. They are seeing, as both campaigns are, a drop-off in the African-American vote. And they say that Democrats are foolish to think that the numbers who came out for Obama in 2008 and 2012 will be there for Hillary Clinton.
That's what many Republicans are saying. What about the day after? You cover Congress. We both live here in the United States of America. There's a lot of fear, and some of it expressed even in the latest CBS News New York Times poll, that neither candidate as president, Trump or Clinton, can unite the nation. Do you think in some way the tone, let's say, of a concession speech by one or the other might make a difference late Tuesday night or early Wednesday? Who knows?
I think it'll be incredibly important. 82% of the American people are disgusted by this process of choosing our next president. Only 13% say they're excited about this quadrennial civic responsibility that we have of choosing our commander-in-chief. So I think it's fair to say it's incumbent upon whoever wins and loses to send a signal that it's time to move forward together as a country.
4 out of 5 disgusted. That's CBS News correspondent Stephen Portnoy. See you on the radio Tuesday. Thanks, Stephen.
You bet.
We'll have more politics coming up, but stay with us. You'll hear CBS's Lara Logan on the battlefront against ISIS in Mosul, Iraq. That's next on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
It's finally fall. The weather is cooling off, and there's no better time to upgrade your cookouts than right now. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. They have a huge menu of steaks and more. The process is convenient and quick, shopping delivered straight to your door. Every purchase is backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% unconditional guarantee. And right now, you can get the limited-time family grill pack for just $49.99. You get all of this. 2 5-ounce filet mignons, 2 5-ounce top sirloins, 4 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 4 3.5-ounce chicken fried steaks, 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, 4 4-ounce Omaha steak burgers, 4 4-ounce gourmet jumbo franks, a 16-ounce package of Omaha steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, OS seasoning packet, plus 4 additional Omaha steaks burgers. Just for listening, Omaha Steaks is offering all of this for only $49.99. This is a huge savings. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter code FTN in the search bar, and add the family grill pack to your cart. Don't miss this deal. Visit omahasteaks.com and enter code FTN in the search bar to get over 30 gourmet items for just $49.99.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Raviv. We'll have more U.S. politics in a few moments, but first, the battle for Iraq's second-largest city, Mosul. Held by ISIS, the terrorist so-called Islamic State, for over 2 years, Iraq's army is going in to liberate the city, with Iraqi Kurdish fighters helping on the outskirts, and U.S. and other NATO forces providing intelligence, ammunition, and, as you'll hear, medical assistance. We have a report from CBS News 60 Minutes correspondent Lara Logan in a heavily damaged neighborhood on the eastern side of Mosul. You'll hear Lara mention IEDs, improvised explosive devices. It's obvious even if many ISIS fighters fled, many remained with a lot of firepower.
The fighting was intense. There were IEDs on the battlefield. U.S. warplanes had been pounding targets from the skies for hours through the night. The air was filled with the hiss and whine of light and heavy machine guns. There was heavy artillery, light artillery mortars coming in, anti-tank missiles. We saw a number of Iraqi soldiers, some of whom were badly wounded, being treated here as a kind of emergency stop, and then taken a short distance from here to a field hospital set up by American troops.
CBS's Lara Logan, Sunday evening, she'll have a report from the battle lines in Iraq on CBS's 60 Minutes. Back to the political battle in this country, let's hear Anthony Salvanto, CBS News Director of Elections, naming the states that Donald Trump would have to win to capture 270 electoral votes. That's the number needed to win the presidency.
You look at states he has to win, like Florida. If he gets that, you look at the map and you say he gets a little closer to 270, but not close enough. If he gets Ohio, he gets closer. If he were to get North Carolina, he gets closer still, but it's still not putting him over that 270 that he needs. So he still needs to add another state or two to his column. He could go try to get, let's say, Nevada and something else, maybe even a Colorado, or try to flip a blue state like a Wisconsin. It's only then that he goes over 270, and that just kind of emphasizes the tough road, though it's doable, that he's got in the next few days.
That was on CBS This Morning on Friday. On the same broadcast, John Dickerson, who's host of Face the Nation, was thinking of North Carolina, which Barack Obama barely won in 2008. But in 2012, Obama lost to Mitt Romney in that state. For Hillary Clinton, motivating black voters is the key?
Right. Well, African-American voters and those college-educated voters in the research triangle in the middle of the state. She needs to jack up turnout with African-Americans and then depress turnout for Donald Trump or win herself among those white college-educated voters that have been a part of the Republican coalition, but that Donald Trump has been having trouble with. So she wants to run up her vote and depress his vote.
Her final pitch here has been very anti-Trump, very negative, despite the fact that, as we saw in the numbers, there's great disaffection with this campaign. Is that a wise strategy?
There's disaffection with the campaign, disaffection with both candidates. Yeah. But for her, what she needs to do is remind those voters of all the bad things about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And what they've seen in the polls, and we've seen consistently, is when Donald Trump is using the teleprompter and is not getting involved in a fight with a Gold Star family or a former Miss Universe, that Republicans start to come home. They start to come back into his column, mm-hmm. Republicans who found him and think he's too risky to be president. So what the Clinton team is trying to do is keep the most risky image of Donald Trump in front of voters as long as they possibly can to keep those Republicans feeling nervous about it.
John Dickerson, host of Face the Nation on CBS every Sunday. He was questioned by Anthony Mason on CBS This Morning. What about Florida, where Barack Obama was the winner in 2008 and then just barely in 2012? Some encouraging indicators for Hillary Clinton, perhaps, Republicans who shun Trump.
I'm Peter King, CBS News, along the I-4 corridor in Central Florida. Political consultant and lifelong Republican Mike Scudero says he's not voting for Donald Trump because of
his big mouth and his inconsistencies on the issues. I mean, just about everything he stood for 4 years ago, 8 years ago, he's gone the opposite way this time.
Scudero says Trump appeals to the party's lowest common denominator by insulting rather than building.
That's where I have a hard time looking at my children, explaining to them why I could vote for him.
Republican and former Florida State Senator Paula Dockery knows what she wants in a president.
It needs to be somebody who has the intellect, the experience, the temperament, who's respected throughout the world.
Dockery, now a newspaper columnist, says Donald Trump is none of those things. Dockery calls him dangerous, divisive.
You want a role model who shows you how to stand up to bullies, not how to be a bully.
And she says she gets hate mail about it and thank yous from other Republicans who agree, quietly.
They're, fearful to say out loud that they're supporting Hillary Clinton.
Who Dockery supports out loud. Both Dockery and Scudero say they've repeatedly been called rhinos, Republicans in name only, because they don't support Donald Trump.
And I look at them and go, you know, I don't have to prove my credentials to anyone. I've had a Republican voter card since I was 18. I've voted more for Republicans than Democrats, certainly, and never voted for a Democrat for president, including this year. I can't vote for Hillary Clinton either. This is one race I'm going to have to frighteningly sit out.
If being conservative means saying the hateful rhetoric that I hear the people who say they are conservative, I don't want to be that.
None of this sits well with hardcore Trump supporters. Tony Latimer heads the Volusia County Republican Party in Daytona Beach. He also works for the Trump campaign. Latimer is particularly angry at former President George W. Bush.
When Bush won that election, I spent 3 days in Tallahassee, you know, with my sign saying certify the vote. And I'm extremely angry and disappointed in George W. for him to do what he's doing. For them to come out and support somebody like Hillary just because they don't like Trump?
Latimer says not if, but when Donald Trump is elected president, it will be anything but business as usual for the GOP.
There will be a rearranging or of the structure of the Republican Party. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a good thing.
Political consultant Mike Scudero isn't so much afraid of that. What he's worried about is what's going to happen Tuesday.
You're going to have diehard Trump supporters who are now fed up with the party mechanisms and go in, vote for president, drop the mic, and walk out, and don't bother to vote for the rest of the ballot.
Paula Dockery, the former senator from Lakeland, says Republicans not supporting Donald Trump, though, is more common than you may think.
I'm being told by people who have been canvassing neighborhoods, walking door to door, that there'll be a Trump sign in someone's yard, and they'll knock on the door, and the woman will come to the door and say, "That's my husband, I'm voting for Hillary." Or the person canvassing will try and talk to the woman of the house. The man of the house will say, "No, you know, she's not available," and then she'll go chase them down the street and says, "He doesn't want me to talk to anybody."
Reporting from Lakeland and Daytona Beach, I'm Peter King, CBS News.
With the election this coming Tuesday, it could be a good time to download our app for your smartphone. News and features always available. The free app is CBS Radio News. And please follow us on Twitter for headlines at CBS Radio News. And I'm at Dan Revive on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Revive. It's been revealed that Democrats, including candidate Hillary Clinton, and many candidates for Senate seats got campaign contributions from people at a small law firm in Boston acting improperly, some say illegally, as straw donors. Employees of the law firm were encouraged to donate, and the heads of the firm reimbursed them, thus trying to get around restrictions on how much money an individual can give. This was exposed by the Center for Responsive Politics and the Boston Globe investigators on the Spotlight team. You remember the movie Spotlight about their investigation of sexual abuse by priests? On Wednesday, CBS News correspondent Tony DeCopel reported after speaking, as you'll hear, with Spotlight editor Scott Allen.
The Thornton Law Firm has just 10 partners, but dollar for dollar, it's one of the nation's biggest political donors. According to the firm's own documents, leaked by a whistleblower, days or even hours after making these donations, partners received money matching the amount they gave.
Once the law firm knew that we had these records, they didn't deny that this was the case.
Scott Allen is the Globe Spotlight editor.
So hundreds and hundreds of times, a lawyer would donate money to a candidate or a political party and then almost immediately be given back that very same sum.
That is correct. If you give a donation and then somebody else reimburses you for the donation, that is a clear violation of the spirit and the letter of the law at the federal and state levels.
Federal law limits partnerships like the Thornton Law Firm to a maximum donation of $2,700 per candidate. But campaign finance watchdogs say the firm used its individual partners as straw donors, allowing it to funnel money to campaigns well above that legal limit. The Spotlight team and the Center for Responsive Politics looked at donations from three of the firm's partners from 2010 to 2014. The trio and one of their wives gave $1.6 million, mostly to Democrats. Over the same period, they received $1.4 million back in bonuses. A Thornton spokesperson said the donations are legal because they came out of each partner's ownership stake in the firm. In other words, they paid with their own money. It was a voluntary program which only involved equity partners and their own personal after-tax money to make donations, the firm said in a statement. Through its employees, the firm gave to Democrats running in some of this year's most hotly contested races.
How confident are you that this is an isolated program, that only Thornton does it?
I am not confident at all. We've had a number of parties coming forward to us saying, hey, they do this at our place too. The issue is always, can you prove it?
Scott Allen, head of the Boston Globe Spotlight team, some Democratic senators and candidates say they're returning donations to the Thornton law firm. The Clinton campaign says it will give the money to the U.S. Treasury, believed to be around $20,000. At the White House, the Obama administration has been thinking about the peaceful transition of power. That takes place on January 20th, when the newly elected leader of this country will be sworn in as 45th president of the United States. And with that comes a Twitter handle and more. Here's CBS News White House correspondent Pam Coulter.
President Obama's been a social media powerhouse using Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to connect with Americans and address issues like income inequality.
Too much of our wealth is still taken by the top.
Fight for a Supreme Court nominee.
Those favoring a confirmation hearing outnumber those who oppose it by more than 2-1.
And encourage people to get covered.
Just go to healthcare.gov.
He's preparing to pass the social media torch to his successor, including his 11 million Twitter followers. The new president will inherit the POTUS account. Mr. Obama's tweets will move to POTUS 44. Pam Coulter, CBS News, The White House.
AT&T's bid to buy Time Warner, the entertainment company that owns HBO, other TV channels, and a lot more, is not a sure thing. Obviously, the $85 billion being offered is impressive, but a Democrat in the Senate, Al Franken of Minnesota, is hoping to persuade federal regulators to block the merger. On CBS This Morning, Senator Franken explained to Charlie Rose, Gayle King, and Nora O'Donnell.
AT&T has the pipes, so to speak. So it delivers content. It has DirecTV. It has the second largest mobile broadband. Increasingly, people getting their TV through that. Buying for $85 billion Time Warner, which has some of the most desirable content.
Well, why is it bad for the consumer?
Why is that bad? Because it's vertical integration. And it also has HBO and CNN and TBS.
But has the NBC Comcast merger, which you led a fight against, has that hurt consumers?
I think it did. Yeah, it did. And in fact, Department of Justice and the FCC put conditions on that. And this is what AT&T is saying, well, put conditions on us. The reason that Comcast and Time Warner Cable, which is a separate company, didn't get approved was that Comcast did not go through with some of those conditions. And this raises prices for consumers. It always does. This concentration, this consolidation of media is not good for consumers.
So you're saying it raises prices and decreases choices?
Exactly. And usually leads to worse service, even worse service.
Senator Al Franken and some Republicans, including Donald Trump, condemned the planned merger as bad for consumers. But the chief executive of Time Warner, who wants to be taken over, Jeff Bukes, says the combined company will always want to offer the most channels at a good price and will want its own channels, such as HBO, to be as widely distributed as possible, not only on AT&T and the system that it owns, DirecTV. That's big business. Now our Weekend Roundup commentator, Charles Grodin.
I went to the dentist recently. I was very grateful he had the radio on a music station. Listen to the news while you're at the dentist. With all due respect to the dentist and the news, count me out. I'm Charles Grodin for the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Friday was the birth centenary of Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America when he was anchoring the news on CBS for decades, would have been 100 years old on November 4th. Sorry to remind you that he died 7 years ago. But CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato joins us in not forgetting our gold standard role model.
Good evening from the CBS News Control Center in New York.
Trust takes years to build. It can disappear in a second. The nation's trust in Walter Cronkite never wavered. Maybe it was the humility he learned in the Depression Dust Bowl.
While my mother denied it to her dying day, I know darn good and well she made hamburgers out of dog food.
Definitely, it was his determination to get the story right and tell it straight.
Never took any elocution lessons, no diction lessons. But what you see, I'm afraid, is what you get.
From the tragic low of JFK's death.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
To the thrilling heights of reaching the moon.
The Eagle has landed.
Oh, boy.
When that vehicle landed on the moon, I was speechless.
That was the rare occasion. Walter Cronkite spoke to America and occasionally for it. And in these times of information saturation where fiction too often is presented as fact, his sure voice and guiding presence are missed.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Up next from today's CBS News, a mystery illness hurts children, but there's hope perhaps for fighting Alzheimer's when the CBS News Weekend Roundup continues.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Dan Raviv. In the state of Washington, a cluster of polio-like illness in children is under investigation by health authorities. Two cases have been confirmed as a rare condition known as AFM. One child has died. CBS News correspondent Mireya Villarreal reported from Seattle Children's Hospital, where three patients are being treated.
The affected children range in ages from 3 to 14 years old. All of them all of a sudden had a disabling pain in their arms and in their legs. And while AFM is not contagious, the CDC says there is no cause or cure. The mother of the one boy who died tells me it all came without warning.
I was really scared. I was like, what's going on?
Mary Jo De Guzman says her six-year-old son Daniel was always happy and healthy.
Say hi.
Hi.
Daniel died over the weekend, one of nine children in Washington state recently exhibiting symptoms consistent with acute flaccid myelitis. At this point, he is not one of the two confirmed AFM cases, a condition that affects the nervous system. It's characterized by a sudden weakness in one or more arms or legs and sometimes causes facial weakness and difficulty swallowing.
He woke up and looked at me and he started crying. But his tear ducts, he couldn't cry because of his tear ducts. His brain wasn't letting him cry.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says as of September, 89 people in 33 states were confirmed to have AFM this year. That's up from 21 cases last year, and the exact cause is unclear. Gracie Fisher, now paralyzed from the neck down, was diagnosed with AFM in 2014 when cases spiked even higher than this year.
I began to feel tingling in my hands and pain in my neck. And within 5 minutes, I couldn't walk.
Daniel's mother still doesn't know why her son died.
Why share a moment that was so raw for you and your family?
We thought, you know, if we shared this with people, that somebody that can give us an answer.
That from CBS's Mireya Villarreal in Seattle. Now Barry Bagnato reports on a source of hope for the many who'd like a cure or some treatment that works against the memory-robbing disease known as Alzheimer's.
A very promising Alzheimer's drug called varobicestat helps clear the brain of amyloid plaque buildups with no major side effects, according to a study in the journal Science Translational Medicine.
We've been doing Alzheimer's research for more than 20 years. We have not had a successful trial in this field.
Dr. Scott Turner at Georgetown's Memory Disorders Program, which is participating in critical phase 3 trials, one key question, how much amyloid must be removed to improve cognition in Alzheimer's patients? Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Let's hear from a politician who's excited about the notion that this country may elect a woman as president. I spoke with Yvette Clarke, a Democrat, expected to be reelected to the House of Representatives for a sixth two-year term this coming Tuesday, representing parts of Brooklyn and Queens in New York. I asked Yvette Clarke if we wake up Wednesday to the news that the next chief executive of our nation is a female, what difference does that make?
Wow, it makes a big difference. From the struggle for women's suffrage in the United States of America to, in our lifetime, having the first woman elected president, I think that we can say that we've matured as a nation.
matured, okay, got to the point that the United States can have a woman. And by the way, you're an African-American politician in the Democratic Party. Does it feel like a nice 1-2 punch, Barack Obama for 8 years and now Hillary Clinton?
Well, for someone who was born in the 60s, it's amazing to see it happen in my lifetime. There were folks before me who would never have thought they'd live to see the day.
Do you expect that her policies will be different because she's a woman or because she's Hillary Clinton, you know, leader of the Democratic Party?
You can't separate Hillary Rodham Clinton, the woman, from being president of the United States and being the head of the Democratic Party. That's just her DNA. That's just, you know, who she is. She's going to come with her own experiences of being a mother, of being a grandmother, of fighting for the rights of families, you know, from the very beginning of her public service career to, you know, just having a passionate concern for the well-being of people. I think that it's going to be great for our country.
Yvette Clark, member of Congress from New York, of course, a Democrat. Now, don't assume that all women or even young women want Hillary Clinton to win. CBS News correspondent Elaine Quijano heard a range of opinions when she got about 36 20-somethings to sit down in New York and talk about politics. By the way, these millennials come from 12 different states.
I'm a very proud conservative, but I don't think that Donald Trump represents the Republican Party.
I'm 20 years old, unapologetic American, and full-blown deplorable Trump supporter.
Well, I'm 19 years old, and I'll be voting for Gary Johnson this year.
I'm 27, and I'm with her.
Honestly, all I really know is I'm not with her, and I don't support Hillary Clinton. You know, I say I'm a Trump supporter, and they immediately think I'm racist, I'm Islamophobic. That's a problem in this election. We automatically jump to conclusions that a Trump supporter is this bad, uneducated person.
He is bombastic, and he says a lot of stuff that I absolutely 100% do not agree with, but at the same time, I don't want to support a liar.
All right, I want to turn to another topic here, and that is the issue of civil rights. But a recent poll found that 85% of young African Americans and 72% of Hispanics believe their race is under attack in the U.S. I wonder, why do you think that is?
This particular topic is something that's really dear to my heart because I was robbed and shot in my head. And if that wasn't enough, I look up and I was staring down the barrel of another gun. And this time it wasn't the barrel of a gun from someone else trying to rob me. This time I was looking down the barrel of the police.
Ryan Quattromani, let me ask you, you're the son of a former police officer, is that right?
He actually recently retired. I think there are bad police officers. I think, you know, there's plenty of corrupt police officers. But I think Obama hasn't done a decent job at helping the African-American communities, and I think Hillary Clinton is part of that. But I do support our police.
Earlier comment about police officers, you know, versus the Black Lives Matter, the African-American community. One is a choice. You have a choice to be a cop. You sign that. You go through training for that. Ain't no choice being black. And Trump has normalized this talk and has put a lot of lives in danger.
You know, here's the thing. Trump hasn't been in the White House, so to say that Trump tore our country apart at the seams and created this racial division, no way. President Obama was the one who was in the White House for 8 years, and race relations have been worse than ever in this country. Let's look at who is in office, an African-American man who has torn apart this country. We need to look at that.
That from CBS's Elaine Quijano, part of our election night coverage this coming Tuesday from CBS News on TV and here on the radio. We'll be anchoring coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have the results state by state. We'll talk about Congress and issues. You don't have to stare at a TV. The Weekend Roundup is produced at CBS News in Washington by Howard Arenstein. I'm Dan Raviv, CBS News.